starting Mizmor Yud Ches. Mizmor Yud Ches is a very long Mizmor, and there are a lot of unique features. Every Mizmor, is we're discovering as we learn, is unique, has incredible, unique chidushim and to the Mizmor. What is unique about Mizmor Yud Ches? Mizmor Yud Ches is repeated almost word for word in the end of Sefer Shmuel. It is known as Shiras David. There are ten Shirois in the Torah. We'll see inside some of the portion. There are 10 Shirois in the Torah. This, what we're about to learn right now, is considered to be on par with Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir, we say, Oz Yashir, Moshe of an Eis. Oz Shir, Oz Tashem, Vayim, Vayim, Hashem, Hashem, Ki, Go, Go, Go. We're all familiar, Shiras Moshe, and Shiras Devoira. And we have here something very, very high on the list called Shiras David. Shiras David is repeated. What?
Shiras
HaBe'er. Ali Be'er and Nula. We have another Shira in the Torah, Shiras HaBe'er. And then there's the Shira of the Itim, the Ace Las. Okay, we'll see. Actually, it says here in one of the Farshim, it actually says, it mentions all of the Shiras. We'll see in a moment. Shiras HaZinu, excellent. Many different Shiras. Now, what is important about there are 10 Shiras. What is unique about Shiras David, more so than the other 9 counterparts, it is repeated almost word for word. It's written over here in Sefer Tehillim, as we know, the entire Mizmor Yud Ches is Shiras David, and it is repeated word for word, or really came first, at the end of Sefer Shmuel. In Shmuel Beis, at the very end, you have exactly this Mizmor, almost word for word. Now, it's not really word for word. If you look over here at the Sefer, you look over here on the bottom, if you look over here on page 141, okay, look at page 141 on the very, very bottom, Likutei Shas u'Midrashei HaTanoim. This is a very fascinating, this is an incredibly fascinating thing, what they did for us over here. And this runs along the entire, it's from Masechta Soferim. Mm-hmm. It's from Masechta Soferim. And it goes on for pages and pages. We're not going to even do any of it. But basically, it shows you every single difference between nuance, like teeny little differences.
Side by side
comparison between the way it appears in the end of Sefer Shmuel. The structure, the words are almost the same. Sometimes they have a different word, but the words are very similar. And the difference will be in the yud, in the vav, the way it's expressed, a prefix, a suffix, very, very small differences. And on page 139, on the very, very bottom, Likutei Shas u'Midrashei HaTanoim, it goes through where it says Perek Yud Ches. Look at the beginning of the second to last line. Eilech Yilufei.
139 what?
On the very bottom. The very bottom of the page. Likutei Shas, second to last line. Second to last line. Yeah. It says, Eilu hein chilufei shirois tehillim. These are the chilufei, the difference,
the variants
of the shirois of tehillim b'shirois Shmuel. This is the variant. He's now going to list for us the small little differences between the way it is presented in Sefer Shmuel versus the way it is presented in Sefer Tehillim. And he enumerates here. Look, the first thing over here is in Shmuel it says Vayidaber. Uvitehillim it says Asher Diber. Okay, the first difference. Pasuk Aleph, back to page 138. Lamatzeach l'Eved Hashem l'David Asher Diber. In Sefer Shmuel it doesn't say Asher Diber. It says Vayidaber. Vayidaber l'Hashem. He spoke to Hashem. And then it says Umifalti. In Sefer Shmuel, it says, in Pasik, B'yoyim Hitzilo Yisai, it says, the Tehillim, U'mifalti. Where is this Pasik? This is Pasik Gimel. Okay, so you see, you get a little bit of a taste. A little bit of taste. So he goes through.
Gimel wasn't simply a cut and paste job.
Right, it wasn't a cut and paste job. And you see this goes on page 140 on the bottom. And then he continues, goes on, 142, 143, every single difference.
The citation is from
Masechta Soferim. Masechta Soferim. I know Mr. He's not here. Is he here yet? Dr. Phil Friedman, he's learning now. He showed me, he comes here from Mincha, he shows me that he's learning Masechta Soferim. He showed me what he has. They have a chabura. They learn together, maybe on Sunday. And right now they're learning Masechta Soferim. And he has a modern critical edition of Masechta Soferim with an interesting Mefarshim, modern day Mefarshim that elaborate. And there, Masechta Soferim enumerates all of the differences between Sefer Tehillim and Sefer Shmuel. And the obvious question is why? Why the repetition? Why is this Shira repeated twice in Tanakh? Everything in Tanakh is very limited. The amount of Sefarim that were not included in Tanakh are enormous. The Apocrypha, okay, the Apocrypha, those the books, the Sifrei Chitzoinim, and the Goyim. Okay, the Goyim, we don't even want to mention the Goyim, but they and their new, whatever they want to call it, whatever title they call their Bible, they include in their Bible a lot more than 24 books. I'm not at all familiar with all
the...
Yeah,
they have their own set of Apocrypha.
Their own books, but in their Bible, we have Chaf Dalet Sifrei, we have the real deal, Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, which was compiled by the Chachamim, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. And the Chachamim had access to all of their books. And I remember hearing a fantastic lecture from Dr. Schneer Lyman. He's one of the world-renowned experts on many of these things. He's just phenomenal. It's a real shame why his material is not his knowledge. His knowledge could fill up, it would be put into writing, and fill up libraries of how much is in his head. And he's just a genius of geniuses. And it's very simple. He only has a few lectures. He only has online. Maybe they have more. They're just not available. But he has an enormous amount of material. Oh, Marcus, yeah. Mark is on the mark. He has enormous amount of knowledge in his head of Shalom. And he, I heard a lecture from him. He was my professor in Brooklyn College. Can you believe it? Someone of that caliber who is amongst the Talmidei Chachamim of the world, he's incredible. No, Schneer Lineman. Schneer Lineman, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He lives in Queens. He has lectured all over the world. Oxford, he's for a long time, he was a professor in Oxford University. He lectured in Harvard, all over the world. Right now, guess where he's located right now? I think in Touro College.
I think so.
Would you believe, after all that, he came back home to Touro College?
They retire and then they go and teach a little in
Touro. Touro College. So I was in Brooklyn College, he gave a core course. You know the core course of Brooklyn College? Brooklyn College is always changing their rules. But when I was there, they were called core curriculum, where every student in the college had to take 10 courses. Some of the courses were 4-credit courses. So 4-credit courses, many of them were divided into two parts. Half a semester, you had one professor, and the other semester, you had another professor. I don't even remember, it's just a long time ago, what was the title of the course, but half of the semester he was the lecturer, he was the professor, and he had in this class freshmen, people off the street, people, like you see, you're walking down the street, and these kids, they're good kids. I'm not saying, I used to teach them at Brooklyn College, I got to like a lot of these kids, nothing wrong, but I feel bad for them. Every single day, way of davening, Chaim Berlin, I see them all coming to Edward R. Murrow. They stream to Edward Amar. I used to have a guy who went there, Or Yitzchak. We have a collection of people there. There's someone, Or Yitzchak, who went to Edward Amar Public School. So he gave me a lot of insight into what goes on in Edward Amar High School over here. He really told me a lot of interesting things of the way it's set up there in the public school. Some of these kids are good kids. Some of them are not. But some of them are good. The only thing that I really feel bad about them is they come every day muzzled. And I'm really amazed how much power, these are big kids, they're high school kids, how much power the public school system has on them. They mamish, not one of them is missing one of those masks. I'm not a joke, okay? People die. I'm not coming to make this honest. And our community already, they started going back to school this year. The school was closed until September. So September is when the public schools were open. yeshivas were open already. They didn't miss the days. The whole last year, all the yeshivas in Brooklyn were open last September. The public schools the entire year were shut down. They had online, very, very shvach. This year they all came back. I was nishtoymen how they used to line up every day and they would demand, they would scream, have your pass, your this thing and that thing. Okay, so I used to try, you know, I felt very bad. I would pass them by. And I'm not wearing a mask, and they were wearing a mask, and I passed them all by. So I, as you know, as a sign of respect, I took my mask and I didn't put it on, but I put it in my pockets and had it overhang. Like, I also got one of these. I feel bad. Don't worry, the day will come. The day will come when you'll also have to be able to take it off. The day will come. And sure enough, you know, Baruch Hashem, next week, it's over for them. Baruch Hashem. I think, right? It's over for them. It's over for them. New York City. So I'm very happy for them. But these exact kids, I was shocked that they were sitting by Schneer Lyman. And Schneer Lyman is roy to be a Rosh Hashiva. He's roy to be a Groyser Rosh Hashiva. And he's mamish giving them, the class was humongous. There must have been almost 200 people in this class, this core class. And he's mamish giving them a shir. He's telling them incredible chidushim. And the yeshiva guys in the class, and the yeshiva girls, they appreciated what things that he was saying. I don't remember.
The topic was
Judaism, ancient Jews, ancient Judaism, something like that. And he was saying these incredible chidushim. He watered it down, obviously, to a very, very low level. But this is stuff that none of us ever heard. None of the yeshiva guys in the class, we never heard this stuff. And he was saying like heavy chidushim that big Rosh yeshivas don't even know. Incredible chidushim, incredible stuff.
Brooklyn College had Talmidei Chacham, right?
Sure.
I was the Rabbi Shapiro.
Okay, now it's Brooklyn College became very, very different. I used to teach there for a number of years as an adjunct. It was good, it was pretty good then. But now, I don't know, maybe it's good. Lyman, I don't know. I know Nassim Yanovsky. You know who Nassim Yanovsky is? From the last four people that are still left there. Nassim Yanovsky is the professor. Aridowski is still there, right? The two heads died from COVID. That's a shocking. Tenenbaum, the department chair of the community department, and Ogenbaum.
And Joe.
Thurman, I think he retired already. Is he still there?
He's still there.
He used to come to the shir here once in a while. Oh, he's hilarious. Oh, okay. What a riot. And okay, let's go. So now, so we're getting back. So how do we get into this? So he had a lot of chidushim on this. He had chidushim on this type of stuff about the difference, about David and it appears twice. I don't remember exactly, but he would be a great to bring him into lecture on why it was necessary that there should be two versions of Shiras David, one in Tehillim, one in Shmuel. He can probably say pearls of wisdom. Pem Mabik Margolios to discuss this topic. And then we have to just work with what we got. We have over here the same exact Shira. It appears in Tehillim, it appears in Sefer Shmuel. We have Chazal tell us there are 10 Shiras. From the 10 Shiras, the only one that is repeated twice is Shiras David. Obviously, that puts Shiras David on a different level, a different stratosphere.
Yeah, the short list is in the volunteer here.
Okay, what did he say? We have over here, it's also,
the beginning of the
paragraph. The beginning of the paragraph. On page 138, in one moment, page is very hard to turn. Oh, the Baal HaTurim, correct, even mark that down. Right, but look at the Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim says, Hashira Zos Yoshir, Yud Shiras, Yud Shir, Sheeser Shiras Yesh, Yoshir, okay, that's Oz Yosh, that's Shiras Moshe. Then there's the Be'er, then there's Shiras HaBe'er, Ali Be'er, and Parshas Chukas.
Right.
Then there is Hazinu, that's number three. Okay, so that's three Shiras in the Torah. Yehoshua, 31 kings. When Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, he listed, he enumerated the 31 nations, the 31 Canaan nations or kings that he eliminated. Then we have Devorah, Shiras Devorah. Okay, that's already number five.
Yeah.
Then we have Shiras Chana. Okay, on Rosh Hashanah, we learn Shiras Chana. Then we have Shiras David. That's over here, what we're learning today. We have Shlomo. Shlomo is, we're coming too soon into Tehillim. Okay, that's something which is not so popular. Not everyone knows about this. I don't know about this. Tila Shlomo is Mizmor Lamed. Okay, this is going to be, see, we know that the Tehillim is not just David. In Tehillim, this means that this is Shiras Shlomo. This indicates that Tehillim was not completed until after David's death. Even though we consider Tehillim to be David's book, and David, everyone and most of the people in Sefer Tehillim came before David, not everyone. Tehillim was concluded by the Anshek, I guess the Anshek Knesset HaGedolah, and they put in things later on. Then there's Chizkiyah, which came with Chizkiyah, that's not part of Tehillim, that's Chizkiyah to Yeshaya. And the Shir Shelo Osid, which is also in Chizkiyahu. Okay, so this is very important. There are 10 Shiras. And obviously, this Shira, Shira Stub, is the most significant.
The last one.
What's right? The last one?
After
Chizkiyahu. Shir Shelo Osid, right? Shir Shelo Osid, which is also in Yeshaya. Shir Shelo Osid in Simon Membeis. Okay. Shira Shelo Osid, that has to be really, if we go back and learn Yeshaya and analyze that in more detail. There are 10 Shiras. The point we're making over here is that being that this Shira is repeated twice, it's it completely puts it in a different league if it's being repeated twice. Now the reason why I told you the Shnei Olam now I remember is because the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, this is why I remember hearing the lecture this way from here, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, they were very careful in what they selected to be included in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. For whatever the reason is, we discussed many times, whatever the reason is, Tanakh is a tradition from Sinai, handed down from Har Sinai, that there are only 24 books. And that's it. 24 books are going to be canon.
The canon.
24 books, the Zehu. And what are those books? So it was up to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah to decide. Now, yes, Yav Yeshu Bacha, who doesn't know for nothing, like, and you show him the New Testament. And you open the New Testament.
You mean the Christian Bible.
The Christian Bible. You open it, there are, I don't know anything about it, but there are a lot more than 24 books. I have no idea how many there are. Now, a good chunk of the Christian Bible is Moli V'Gadosh Akkadosis. There are things that are outright lies, outright nonsense, literally garbage.
And outright contradictions.
It's man-made, total garbage. And then there are, in the Christian Bible, there is Tanakh. But it's not in Hebrew. They've changed it to, I don't know what, the translation has destroyed. Okay, has destroyed the truth of what is Tanakh, but more or less it's a translation. It's also part. And then, so you have Tanakh, which has been translated, and the translation has corrupted. You can't translate Tanakh. The translation has corrupted the authenticity of Tanakh. But let's put that aside. And then there is other stuff there that is total garbage. Total outright nonsense and lies and fiction. And then there's a collection of other books, which also have been translated. But those books are very good. See, if you ask a yeshiva bachar and you show him one of these books that you never heard of before, they'll say, Apikorsis. It's Apikorsis. It's not. These are holy books. They're very, very holy books. I mean, they've been translated, so you don't know, you know, the translation could destroy, they may have made some changes. I don't know anything about this. But these are very holy books. I don't know.
Matthew, John?
No, that's garbage. That's the garbage.
What else is there?
I don't remember all the names. I used to have to take exams on this. I don't remember. Many years ago, there are other books. There are other books there that are not. There are other books that are, I remember lecturing.
The back of the Gideon Bible? Is that what it is?
And he was saying, they're just, for whatever the reason, Chazal, they're called, in the eyes of Chazal, Sifrei Chitzoinim, and they were written by very holy people, very, very great people. However, they did not reach the level of Ruach HaKodesh. that they were eligible to be included in the in the canon, in the chaf, in the mesorah. No, that's not part of the Bible. That's not part of the. That's another book. He never remembered him telling us about one of the svarim. He was telling us the whole story, what it says there, and he says there's incredible stuff there. And he says this is not apikorsis. This was holy stuff. And this was why then isn't, how come we don't know about this? No one talks about this. It did not reach the level of Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore Chazal rejected it. They didn't reject it because it's wrong. It's no worse than any library. There are libraries full of books. But it's not a Sifrei Kodesh.
As it is, several of the ones that made the cut just kind of barely made it.
Megillas Esther barely made it. Yecheskel. It says in the Gemara. It says in the Gemara that Chazal did not want to put Yecheskel in the Chof Dalet Sefer Tanach. Because it says things there in Sefer Yecheskel that are connected Kolat Arakula.
Koheles,
okay, there was a major wars. There were wars going on in Chazal. There was a Mesorah from Sinai. There's a Mesorah going back. When Moshe came down from Har Sinai, it says the word Kala. And Chazal Darshan, a Kala wears 24
accessories.
And these accessories are listed and enumerated in Sefer Yeshaya. And Chazal tells us that a Talmud Chacham has to be like a Kala. He has to beautify himself with 24 accessories. What are the 24 accessories? The 24 Sifrei Tanakh. What are the 24 Sifrei Tanakh? It was not known. Moshe, when he came down to give the Torah, it was like a nevuah for the future. And Chazal struggled. They battled. What should be included? They had at the time when they wanted to make the final canon, when the Ruach HaKodesh was leaving Klal Yisrael, when Golus was beginning, and the nevuah was coming to an end, and the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah knew if not now, then never. It has to now be decided before the last degree of Ruach HaKodesh leaves Klal Yisrael. It has to be decided which of the candidates can be included in the canon. And we don't know how many books there were.
Did Moshe know the 24?
It's Nevuah. We don't know. This is Nevuah. This was, I don't know. They weren't written yet. When Moshe came down, the books weren't written yet. Nothing happened yet. Yeshua didn't happen, Shmuel didn't happen, Malachim didn't happen. Nothing happened yet. This is for the future. It was an evolving process. There was prophecy, there was Ruach HaKodesh. And then when it came time, when the Ruach HaKodesh came to an end, it came time to put everything in the canon, to formalize, to finalize, a decision had to be made. And they had, who knows, it could be they had hundreds of books. Chazal said there was 1.2 million Nevi'im. 1.2 million Nevi'im existed in the time of the Bayis Sheni. And how many do we have on record? 48. We have on record 40. What happened to the other 1.2 million prophets? Don't you think what they said was put into writing? Certainly it was. Certainly it was. A Nevu'u L'doros. So, but their prophets were put into writing. They were books. And they were put into writing. And Chazal had, we don't know how many candidates. People submitted what they had available to them. Who knows? We have no idea what they had available to them. And Chazal made a decision. This is what is included in the Mesorah, in the canon, these 24 books, and not this. Just because something was rejected does not mean it's apikorsis. It just means it didn't make the cut. And some of these books, we don't know why, how, what, it's none of our business. The Christians, they liked it. They incorporated it into their Bible, and it's there, and there are many of these books. And I tell you, Rabbi Shneur Lyman, he went through them and he told us, you know, this is apikorsis, this is apikorsis. This is not apikorsis. This is good
were
stuff.
They written by Yidden? Were
they written by Goyim? Yidden! Of course they're written by Yidden. Yashko is also a Yid. They're written by Yidden. Of course they're written by Yidden. Erlecha Yidden. Yirei Shemayim. Yirei Mushleimim. They didn't reach the level of Ruach HaKodesh. And if a Chazal said, you know, there's only 24 books, they're not going to be included. Just because that, it's no worse than you go buy an art school biography. You go buy an art school biography. Anything wrong with reading an art school biography? Nothing wrong with an art school biography. You go read any biography. It's wonderful. It's Jewish history. You want to be a reader. Rav Kuttner held. Learning Jewish history is the key of Talmud Torah. You make Talmud Torah, key of Talmud Torah, by studying Jewish history. Jewish history is a chiluk of Talmud Torah. So what's so bad? A barrel of wine, he wrote a book. Whoa, what's terrible? So some of the books here, there's nothing wrong with them. They're not Ruach HaKodesh. It's not part of Tanakh. They're not accepted. So therefore, once we have that appreciation, everything was so delicate. What was included, what's not included, it's shocking then when you have something that is repeated twice in Tanakh. So we had this already before in Tehillim, in Nizmo Yud Gimel, at the Nine Yud Gimel, I already forgot the numbers, I think I'm just getting it, maybe I think it was Yud Gimel, it's repeated.
I do want to correct something.
Yes.
I mean, I just Googled it. So what they list is their books, and nothing to do with our apocryphal books.
Okay.
None of those. It's all stuff. You can look it up on your own.
There's a lot of stuff there. And that Ben Sira is not part of the Christian Bible.
No.
That's another book. That's another book called the Sifrei Chitzonim. All the things that we rejected, but are not. My cousin, he's heavy. You want to go listen? If he goes into my cousin, he's heavily steeped in this. Heavily steeped in this stuff. He can come. He can give lectures forever on this type of stuff. A lot of stuff is available online. Fascinating things. But in any event, so therefore, the point I'm trying to make of is being that whatever was selected to be part of Tanakh is critical. It's shockingly surprising when you have something in Tanakh that is repeated. When you have psukim that are repeated, when over here we had a mizmor that was repeated, Yud Gimel and Zion, if I'm not mistaken, there was a mizmor that we discussed. It's repeated word for word later on in the Sefer, not word for word, but almost identical. So why is it repeated? So it has to be understood. If everything is so precious, if this competition for space, for what should be included, you repeat a pasuk? What's the purpose of repeating a pasuk? Obviously, there's something very significant. Okay, a whole mizmar in Tehillim is repeated twice? That's very significant. And this probably is the ultimate mystery. An entire Shira is repeated twice. This is a very long mizmar. Yud Ches goes on, and the entire thing is repeated word for word. Now we're
talking about
we said in the beginning.
If it's what? Kodesh, why there's so many discrepancies?
Oh, so like we said on the bottom of the page, when we start. No, that's not
in
the poem.
Some of it.
Okay, look on the very bottom. The very bottom shows all the differences. In the Likutei Shas, Medrash Agudah, starting on page 139, in the beginning we mentioned this, Perek Yud Ches, the second to last line on page 139, it goes on for a few pages from Masechta Sofrim, enumerating, highlighting every single difference between Sefer Tehillim and the end of Shmuel, the Shiras David. Every single difference. Okay, what's going on? Why was it repeated twice? So this is a big topic of discussion. So over here, in fact, some of the first over here, they actually deal with this, and we'll let's see over here the Mincha Shai. Look at the Mincha Shai. We'll start with that. Okay, Mincha Shai. Page 130 on the very very bottom. The Mincha Shai is the one that always gives you the girsa. Tells you he studied all the manuscripts. He tells you the correct girsa, and he writes. He has a field day with this. Shira zoy nemar gam sefer Shmuel. Ach yesh hafroshos beinehem b'miloy shanes. There are numerous differences between them in just in the nuances. Kimoy she ha iroisi al har beinehem sham. As I have aroused, I've brought to your attention. I have pointed out many of the differences there in Sefer Shmuel. I already did this. I'm not going to repeat myself. I already told you all the differences. Ulefisha kasafti oisa kaseder shiras hayam. Oisa kaseder shiras hayam v'shiras devayra mehatamim ha'amurim sham. I don't know what that means over there. What he's saying over here. There are 10 shiras, and he writes there. Okay, I think we'll see what he means in a second. Okay, let's see. Gam zor reisi ani lekasa. Here's what he means. Kidmusa Kitsalmo Dloigara Mina Shashtein Nitnu Me Roya Ech. Both of these Shuas are sacred. They both come from Hashem with Ruach HaKodesh and the Ruah, and therefore Yiratzon Sheniske Loshir, may we merit to sing as Shir Hashem Al Admas Kodesh HaKodesh B'Yerushalayim Amen. And then look in the brackets. Tzuras Hashuas Shel Rabbeinu Nitfeses B'Soif HaSefer. Turn to the very last page of this book. If you turn to the very, very last page of this book, you see here, this is from the Mincha Shai. Look at the ketap where it says, Mizmor Yudches Al Pi Mincha Shai. So he shows you how to break it up. Okay, someone here wrote, something in my sefer, what does it really say? B'siyad HaShemal L'Refu'osam Ula Sikam, what's this? Someone wrote something over here. I have to see what they wrote. But in the very last page, you see over here in the back, how he broke it up into Oriach Al Gabe Levena.
Right.
The Mincha Shai, he, I guess we have records of what he did, and he, this is the way it is supposed to look in a Sefer on Tehillim that's written on parchment. Okay, you don't see, we don't write Tehillim on parchment today. There's no need to, because we don't learn from Tehillim. We have Nevi'im, many shuls today became very popular today. Many shuls today are becoming very popular to have a set of Nevi'im, of the eight Nevi'im, costs about $100,000, if anyone wants to buy. $100,000, it costs double the amount of a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah has how many columns? 245 columns. How many columns are there in the complete set of Nach? Nevi'im of Nevi'im? About 500 columns. If you count all of the columns in the eight books, take out of a go to a shul that has a set of the eight Nevi'im, Yeshua, Shef, Yeshua, Malachim, Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Yirmiyah, and Trei Aser, count the columns, about 500 columns. So if a Sefer Torah today costs about $50,000, if it costs, a Sefer will charge to buy a Sefer Torah to write 245 columns, if it'll charge you $50,000, so it's work. It'll cost double to write an entire set of Nevi'im. 500 columns.
Have the whole set or only
Sorry?
Some? Because my son only laid.
Have none.
Some of them only have.
Where, the young Israel?
Yeah.
None.
They had none?
None. He's on the. Alan Gross is on the line there. He has a private collection of the Megillahs.
Oh.
Alan Gross has a private collection for Koheles, only the Megillahs. So on Yom Tov, when they lent for the Megillahs, so then the person wanted, so he was kind to lend the shul his private set of the Megillahs. Okay. They're illustrated, they were beautiful, they were very artistic, they're very expensive, and only the Megillahs. But the shul, when I was there, they never lent from parchment, never. The Nevi'im, the Haftarah? Downstairs, maybe, in the Hashkava Minyan, so the Baal Kriya.
MPJ had the whole.
The yeshivas. Typically, in the yeshivas, they always lain on from parchment,
right.
But not in the shuls. The shuls never did this. This was never done.
Well, at MPJ, they.
In yeshiva, the yeshivas.
Some brought up to the bungalow.
Right, in the yeshivas like the yeshivas, because Shamea Ka'ine. But now it became a new thing.
Yeah.
Now in this generation, for some reason, it became a new fad. But some people are now very upset. There are people that protest, that object to this. This
Valkyrie reason.
Valkyrie reason, right? There are issues. It's not necessarily the best thing to do. It's none of my business. I'm not ever sure to each his own. But today became much more popular. In many shuls.
Is there a bridge version where they only have the Haftarah?
Excellent. It's called Sifra the Haftarah.
I have one in my shul.
Yes. So it's better. So here's the question. If you can't, you don't have $100,000. You know, Jews used to be very poor. People didn't have money to throw around like this. People didn't have money, $100,000 to throw around to go buy, to go. People are starving. People have $100,000 to go buy a Sefer than Sifra Nevi'im. So they did do is, there's another Madre, the Gemara mentions this, it's called Sifra the Haftarah. It's one book, and all of the Haftarahs are written parchment.
Right.
So the question is, what is the advantage of reading from a Navi, from a parchment, from Klaf? The advantage is shomei akoine. In order, there's a takana of Chazal to lane the haftorah on Shabbos. There's a takana. We're not giving a shir now on why we do this. There are many reasons why it's done. But there's a takana. We make five blessings. Serious business. You make a bracha. Right. Make a bracha rishona. Four brachas after you finish the haftorah. So to lane it from a chumash, there are those who feel that's not what the takana. If you're making a bracha b'shem u'malchus, the proper thing to do is to read it from like a sefer Torah, from parchment with dioi written, you know, with sava shuris, not to read it from a printed book like we do today. And in order for the people in the shul to be yoytze the haftorah, in order that it should be shemei koine on a higher level, it should be read from parchment. Okay, so there are issues. There are Shemei HaKo'ina issues, and there is an issue of making a brach. So it's a nice thing to do. So the question is, so why do I have to write the whole Navi? I'm only going to lay in 21 Psukim. I have to write the whole Sefer Shmuel. I'm only going to read 21 Psukim. I need the whole Sefer Shmuel. So you're right. It's better having a Sefer, the Aftarta, is better than having reading it from a chumash.
Is it written in order? What the order of haftorahs?
Like in the back of the chumash.
Like
the back of the chumash.
It doesn't matter.
The order doesn't matter. What matters is these psukim.
But when it jumps around, it just jumps and
right. Yeah, it doesn't jump too much.
A haftorah that's written twice. Why do you decide this two times?
You all write it once.
The last half Torah in the Sefer is
Dishabah.
That's the last half Torah.
There are different versions. There's no Messiah on
Sivat Harta.
The Gemara mentions the Sivat Harta. There's
a lot of duty.
Right. Yeah, so it's done. It's available.
You can buy it.
It's available. You go to Tiferes Tam, you can get it. And I actually know my brother Davins in Lakewood, so they have a new community, startup community. And when they started the shul, they had no money. They still don't have so much money there. But maybe, I don't know, none of my business, what they have here. But he told me they wanted, everybody's side. They wanted, you know, after they started getting going, they had a few dollars, they wanted to get a museum. And they had a dilemma. They went to a very big Rav. They could either buy right now a Sefer Daftarta, that a couple bucks, or they can buy one Navi. They can buy one complete Navi, or they can buy a Sefer Daftarta. They had a couple of $1,000. Has not most, has them all.
The ones that they have, it has most of the Sefer.
They'll even pay a Sefer to write a Sefer Daftarta. They still do it today. They can buy it today. You can commission someone to do it today. There's no Messiah. It just, the Haftar that you're reading should be on parchment. And Dioi, say in Ksav HaShuris. Who says you have to read the entire Sefer Shmuel? Just read the part that you're supposed to read for the Haftarah on parchment with Dioi, with Ksav HaShuris. If you're making five blessings with Shem Hashem, and you're being Moitzei Ditzibur with Shemei HaKo'ineh, in order to give it more potency, it should be done the right way. It doesn't make a difference. So you have one book, it has them all, this order, that order, you leave out one, you don't leave out one, whatever you do, it doesn't make a difference. The point is that the part that you're reading should be on parchment. But it's not equivalent to having the entire Sefer. That's a higher level. So they asked the Shaila, we have a few thousand dollars that has been collected for this purpose. Should we purchase now a Sefer Daftarta? Or should we use the money to buy, we'll buy you, the first one you buy is Yeshaya. The most Haftaras are from Yeshaya. So they asked, and the Pesach said, buy Yeshaya.
He says, Yeshaya.
What's the law on this? I don't know. None of my business.
This is what they did.
And then they bought another one. What's the next most popular after Yeshaya?
Yirmiyah.
And what's the next most popular? I don't even know. I think it's Treyasa. I think Treyasa.
Yeah, probably.
And then comes in Melachim. I don't remember. I have it over here.
So at least it's Yoshua.
Right, Yeshua is how many times? Three times. Three times you learn Yoshua. Simchas Torah, Parsha Shalach, Shalach Lein the Meraglim, and
one thing in Bereishis.
When the Elaine was the, when's the third time? I don't remember. Okay. See that? I forgot already. Three times Elaine from Sefer Yoshua. All right. In any event, look what we have over here. We have over here.
You have that one.
Oh, the Haftar the second day, the Haftar on Pesach.
Yeah.
Pesach. On Pesach, Elaine again from Yoshua. Three times Elaine from Yoshua. And the other ones, yeah, it's a whole, which one you lay the most? Yeah, it's no game, which one you're going to buy first. But they're not all the same price. Melachim is massive.
Right.
Sefer Melachim, you buy, I think at the end it's the biggest one. Yishai is not as big as Melachim. Melachim is massive.
It's
massive. Yishai is pretty big also. You're right, Yishai is pretty big also. Okay, fine. In any event, now, here's the point. Now you notice over here, the Mincha Shai, this is controversial now. Now, again, some controversy. Okay, if you look over here in this mizmar, the Mincha Shai, he wrote it for us. He presented for us Ardiach al gabe levena. Now that's very important what he did, because by doing so he's putting the commas for us. This is irreversible. It's one thing if you have a stream of words. Where does the comma go? So you look, open up the Tillin. You look at the Malbim. You look at the Radak. You look at Rashi. And you'll start playing around with the words, and you look at the Tamei HaMikra, you can put the comma wherever you want. You can interpret the pasuk this way, that way. There are many expressions in Tehillim where, you know, it's all up to you where you want to put the comma. It all depends on the interpretation.
The period is also
known? That we have a Masar, that's pretty good. Where the Seif Pasuk. Yeah, that we do have. It does seem to be accepted where the end of the pasuk is. But that's also a good point. Where do you... So when you have in Chumash, we have a Mesoira, when there's a Parsha Psucha, and when there's a Parsha Stuma. But everything else is just a stream of words. And there's no space, there's no extra space between the end of a sentence, end of an expression. There are no commas, there are no periods. It's a stream of words. But when it comes to Shiras Moshe, Oz Yashir, and you set up the column with Oriach al gabe levena, and you have blocks of words, and then there's space, and then there's more words, and then there's the beginning of the line, there are words. You're playing game, you're playing with fire here. Because here, by making blocks of words and then creating empty space in order to establish Oriach al gabe levena, you are inserting commas that are irreversible.
You're
phrasing it. You're giving interpretation to the words. You'll find another mufarish that will say, who told you to go and separate this word with the next word by putting this big space? In my interpretation of the pasuk, those words go together. It's all subject to interpretation.
Right.
There are many interpretations. So the Mincha Shai is grace the places. One thing that the Mincha Shai, we learn the Mincha Shai, he tells you how to read it. Okay, you want to read it that way, I read it this way. We don't listen to the Mincha Shai. Megillas Esther, every single Megillas Esther is not in accordance with the Mincha Shai. There are a couple of words at the end of the Megillas Esther, he says this is the way the word is supposed to be spelled, and every Megillah, it's not like that. He says it was a mistake that crept into our Masorah, and all you guys are wrong, it's a mistake. Guess what? No one listens to the Mincha in that particular instance. No one listens to the Mincha Shai. Mincha Shai, I don't know. I don't think so.
Hillel HaNosi became the Nosi based on his interpretation of a pasuk. But of course, it says Lasos HaPasach B'Moado. They asked him when, if Erev Pesach or Shabbos, do you have to bring the carbon? Do you bring it? So he said, since the pasuk said Lasos HaPasach B'Moado, and that's where we have the end of the pasuk. How come it says Pasach and not Pesach.
Pasuk.
So we said the Pasuk ends with the word Pasach, and B'moado B'arba Asar Yom is the beginning of the
drasha.
Pasuk. So we said in its time on the 14th day, so you bring the carbon Pesach even if it's Shabbos, because the Pasuk really begins B'moado B'arba Asar Yom.
Okay.
Now look, good. Take a look at the Mincha Shai. I like the fourth one. It says Suri Etzer Bo. but he stops after the Hetzer, for example.
Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But
he
comes out differently. Is connected. There's no.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the details. Okay, now,
yeah.
So,
saying it's not where the period.
The Mincha Shai in Sefer Tehillim went and presented it. He wrote it for us. Now you're not going to see this. Why you're not going to see this? Because we don't today have a Sefer Tehillim written on parchment. There are a few out there. It's not done. Why is it? Because no one needs it. The only we have Sefer Torah, of course, and we have Nevi'im. Nevi'im is a big business, okay? They have a set of Nevi'im. And we have the Chumash Megillahs, because we lay them in Shul. But no one today is going around writing Sefer Daniel on parchment. Do you know anyone out there who has a Sefer Daniel, Ezra Nehemiah, written on parchment? I don't know anyone that has such a thing. What? Oh, so Tehillim became a thing now.
It became a whole new thing now.
Already 20 years ago, in the Kaisel Hamarav, you go into Wilson's Gate. You know, you go on the left side. You go into there, and then you turn a little bit to the left. They have a whole Svarim Shank of all the.
There's the Keteris there on the wall, and then there's.
And then they have you in a glass case. They have in a glass case a Sefer Tehillim written on parchment, and the handles come out. And you can turn the entire Sefer Tehillim. You can say Tehillim, people like to say Tehillim from Klaf. Why? They get a thrill out of it. Okay, good for them. You have to make sure you know all the Nekudos, Balpeh. They get a thrill out of it. Now I see became a new thing online, is where every Sunday they have a Rav somewhere in the world, and they bring them the Sefer Tehillim on parchment, and they have a live broadcast, and in Darshans he says Divrei Musar. It's very nice. Very nice. I mean, they say Tehillim, and he says the chapter, or whatever he says, from a Tehillim that is written on parchment with Dioi and Ksav Hashuris, and somehow people feel that it's more sacred, it enhances their concentration, their Dveikus to Hashem. Good. Svarim Halavai, I should be able to, even just to say Tehillim, forget about having it on clock. Okay, very, very nice. But we don't read it in public. We don't read it in public. So I'm assuming that if you go and you all go to the Kaisel Hamaravi, next time you go, and you go into the Kaisel, and you go into Wilson's Arch, and you make a left, and you'll find Sefer Tehillim, turn it to Perek Mizmar Yudches, and see if it's written like the Mincha Shai, Ariach Al Gabe Levena, like Oz Yosher, because that's what he did for us on the very last page of the Sefer. Now we get to the really good, juicy stuff.
So you don't know the answer to that.
What?
How it was written there.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. Maybe you can Google, you can find the video.
What is the oldest copy of Tehillim on the clock?
What is the oldest copy? We don't really have, I don't know, there must be. There is one controversial thing about it. There is one besides this. I think that they sure do it. I think it's written like this. I can't imagine that it's not. I can't imagine that it's not written like this. The only controversial thing is the word Sukkos. It says somewhere in Tehillim, I don't know where, the word Sukkos. And there's a big machloekis, do you write it with a vav or without a vav? That's
seven lines from the bottom.
That's the controversy. That's what it is.
Seven lines from the bottom.
There's a whole shaila. No, not, I don't know if it's in this mizmar. It's in this mizmar, the controversy, or another mizmar. I don't remember. There's a whole sugi about that. One word in Sefer Tehillim, do you write the word sukkos with a vav? No, that's sukkosoi. I don't think it's in this mizmar. It's in a different mizmar. All right, that's not it. Now here's what I want to add. We discussed a couple of times.
Now, one second. The original, before the printing and everything, that they wrote everything.
But just because they wrote doesn't mean they wrote it to halacha. Just because in those days they wrote it, they wrote in Ksav Ivri.
This one that's in the cave there, or something, maybe that's an old.
It's
one.
Not a right. It's not a right. They certainly wrote.
But I'm saying originally they wrote it. They wrote it on Klaf.
It doesn't mean anything wrote on Klaf.
Says, you know, it rolled out the Sefer.
Right. But just because they wrote it doesn't mean it was accurate. Doesn't mean it was written la halacha, and it was not even intended. They didn't want to waste parchment.
All these things, Daniel, probably everything was all written.
Well, that's how they wrote in those days.
They
wrote on papyrus. They didn't even write on cloth. They weren't yoytzei. Papyrus, you're not yoytzei if you write on papyrus. It has to be on leather from kosher animals that are processed l'shem shamayim. It's very, it was very weird to have a kosher Sefer Torah in time of Chazal. It wasn't something that was so common. Okay, all right, so we're going to go now. What's the big controversy? This Sefer is repeated in Sefer Shmuel. The end of Sefer Shmuel, you just mentioned, is repeated twice. So that has to be discussed. Why is it repeated twice? What is the focus? We'll get to that a little later. But it is repeated twice. And in Sefer Shmuel, guess what? Many, many shuls, there are thousands of copies of Sefer Shmuel in many shuls all over the world, new and old, of Sefer Shmuel. And when you come to the end, I think it's Perek Chavdal, the very end of Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Beis, what we call Shmuel Beis, it's on parchment. Is it written also there, Ariach Agabi Levena? And all you go to your local shul that has a set. Go to your local shul that has a set of Nevi'im in the Aron HaKodesh, and they learn from Sefer Shmuel to next week. Not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos, what is the Haftarah? The Haftarah is from Sefer Shmuel, Agag. Agag is Shabbos Zohar, we learn from Sefer Shmuel. So if you daven in the shul, where they learn the Haftarah from parchment, try to steal it after davening is over and roll it to the very, very end, and you'll come across Shiras David in a different form, very similar to what it says here, and see the way it is laid out on the parchment. And likely you're going to discover it's laid out on the parchment exactly the way it's laid out over here in Tehillim.
With the spelling differences.
Well, of course, with all the differences, of course.
Right.
The way it's laid out the same, Ariach Agabi Levena. Of course, all of the changes in spelling, absolutely. Some versions you'll be shocked to discover, it's not. It's just a stream of words. You'll find many copies where Shiras David is just words. They didn't bother doing it. Is it Ma'akev? Macharanat. It doesn't make a difference. And the Sefer Torah, it's possible. If you don't write Oz Yom Shiras Moshe the way it's supposed to be written, the Sefer Torah is possible. You don't make a bracha. But in the Navi, you know, Navi is the different standards. It's not in the Megillas Esther. If the Aseres B'nei Haman are not written across the page, can you make a bracha on the Megillah?
For sure.
You can make a bracha on the Megillah. Oh, but it's supposed to be two columns. Right? Two columns. No, a lot of things are supposed to be in this world. A lot of things are supposed to be. It's not ma'akev.
If you kill a sesi, you could be missing part of a letter.
Half, you're missing even half. Come on. Okay, so it's still kosher. Okay, so if you'll take out the old Nevi'im, this one you're going to find Ruba de Ruba. You're going to find it's either going to be written a stream of words, or it's going to be written like the way we have it over here for the Mincha Shai, Ariach Agabi Levena. Now, everyone knows of the Aleppo Codex. We spoke about this many, many times. In Syria, for 1,000 years, they were stored in some, I don't know what it was, some type of a shul, not really. Where was it stored? It was stored in some facility, something called the Aleppo Codex. What is a codex? A codex is a book. Sefer Torah is rolled on parchment. In ancient times, they realized, what's so bad if we have books? Why does everything have to be rolled in scrolls? We have books. So there was a book, and it's called that's a codex. Codex is an old word for a book. It's in contrast to a scroll. Aleppo is the name of a city. That's where it was stored. And there was a whole Tanakh. And the whole Tanakh was written. And that Tanakh had dots, nukudos, and tame hamikra, and also was written with psuchos and stumos, exactly the way it's supposed to be laid out in the Sefer Torah. And this had a reputation as being the Masorah, checked over 1,000 times as being the most authentic version of what the Sefer Torah, what Tanakh is supposed to look like. No. I don't know what's on. Probably on parchment. Probably is on parchment. I don't know. I'm assuming it's on parchment, but I don't know. This it's not a Sefer Torah. It's a book with nikudois, and this was in safekeeping under lock and key for 1,000 years, mainly under the control of the Yishma'elim, the Arabs. They stored it. And there is a tradition, a legend, can it be proven, it cannot be proven, that the Rambam, when he writes that he traveled to Syria, he traveled in his different travels, he came across this codex, and he studied it, and was very pleased with what he saw, and he used it to write his own private Sefer Torah. Okay, so the Aleppo Codex is considered to be Kodesh Kodashim. Sacred is the oldest, has a reputation, a legend that this is the Messiah. What's in the Aleppo Codex is as good as it gets. It's the best that we have. There's another one called the Leningrad Codex. There's another, the other codex, I don't remember all the details, but the Aleppo Codex is sacred. Okay. In the Aleppo Codex, Shiras David is not printed the way the Mincha Shai shows, or Riach al Gabi Levena. The Mizma that we're learning, when it's repeated in Shmuel, well, that's where it came first, is like Hazinu, or like the Aseres B'nei Haman. Two columns. It starts in the beginning, we have one section, empty space, and then you have a series of words. Next line, just like Hazinu Hashamayim Va'adabera, like exactly the way it looks in the Sefer Torah Parashas Hazinu. So the Aleppo Codex, we did not have access to. It was on the lock and key by the Arabs. Occasionally, a person, a Jew, would beg them, bribe them, or find favor in the eyes of one of the people there, the higher up people, and they gave them permission to momentarily look what it says, or more often, what do you want to know? I'll go in, I'll check it out, and I'll come out and I'll tell you what it says. So it wasn't very easy to have access to what it says, to what was there. So it wasn't really known. It was there for 1,000 years. And no one had access to it. In 1948, after the establishment of the State of Israel, there were riots in Aleppo. And that building was torched. It was destroyed. And in the confusion, the chaos, the mayhem that ensued, people ran in there, and we don't even know what happened. But what did happen for sure is, originally it was always, the reputation was 1948, a long time ago, was there was a fire, and part of it was burnt, was destroyed. You know what was destroyed? The end of Chumash Devarim and Megillas Esther. Isn't that funny? Wouldn't you like to say there, Zecher or Zecher? So that, exactly, that part where it says Zecher or Zecher, that was destroyed. And as well as Megillas Esther. What? It does have, that's exactly, it does have Nekudos. It's not a Sefer Torah. It's a codex. A codex is a book.
Codex.
A codex is an old word for a book. A book.
The master copy.
Yes, it had Nekudos. And the end of Chumash Devarim was destroyed. Well, they thought it was destroyed in the fire. The place burnt down. It was. They threw in, who knows what they said. It was chaos. I don't know all the details. And as well as Megillas Esther. What happened at that time when this chaos ensued?
All Kisrayatin have Zesha with a Munaf.
Okay, they were. I remember we discussed this. Okay, that's not a point. Okay, but what happened there was, there are a lot of books about this. The Mossad, when they saw what was going on there, they went in there and they snatched it. They snatched it, and they brought it to Eretz Yisrael. It was a very complicated undercover mission. The CIA was involved. All this stuff has now come out now. And it's still going on. In the process, a number of pages disappeared. And it was assumed for decades they were burnt. Now with technology, they know as a fact it was not burnt. It was not burnt. There was no fire in that area. And the pages that are missing were stolen. People grabbed. There was chaos. An Arab grabbed one paper, a Jew grabbed another paper, and they're out there. And maybe some of them, and in fact, the CIA and the Mossad, if you go online, you go to Amazon, you type in the Aleppo Codex, you'll find a library of novels and fiction and a lot of truth to learn about the whole fascinating story of the Aleppo Codex.
Right.
Fascinating.
It's in a book,
and it's still more than many books. People
know,
have written books.
Fort Warren just gives the whole story that they know.
There's so many things going on with the Aleppo Codex, and the Mossad was heavily involved in this, and so is the CIA. What does the CIA care about this? I don't know. It's priceless. This Aleppo Codex is worth billions. It's priceless. Right now, it's an Eretz Yisrael under lock and key. They've made photocopies of the entire thing, and it's available online. You can see the entire Aleppo Codex online. You probably have to subscribe to some website, the Israeli Museum, and you can see the entire Aleppo Codex online.
It's missing a couple of pages.
Missing a couple of pages, some pages are damaged, but the vast, 90% of it is there. It's not, is there. Now, what's interesting about this is that in the Aleppo Codex, Shiras David is two columns. If you open up Aron HaKodesh and you take out all of the Nevi'im in our shuls, you're going to find that it's written either as a stream of words or it's written like Shiras Yoshu Oriach Al Gabi Levena. So in the 80s, and that's not the only thing. There are a lot that the Aleppo Codex has revealed a lot of differences in psuchos and stumos in the Nevi'im that we don't have in what we have in the Aron HaKodesh. And from that came a major machlokes between Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim. From Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, Yibadol Mil Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Eliashiv Zechet Tzadik Levracha, is what should Soifrim today, in the 21st century, when they sit down to write a new Sefer Shmuel, should they write Shiras David as two columns, or should they write it the traditional we have in the Aron HaKodesh, Oriach Al Gabi Levena? And likewise for the numerous other differences that are found throughout the entire Nach.
Who says what?
Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita says that we have a very weak Mesoira on Nevi'im because of Golos, and if we have the Aleppo Codex, we should follow it. So all is like a modern thinker, right? So all of the Seferim should start Mikanu Lahaba writing Nevi'im exactly the way it's presented in the Aleppo Codex.
What was that Mesorah?
What
was the Mesorah for Aleppo Codex?
This is the Mesorah. In his opinion, the Mesorah that the Aleppo Codex is the real deal is stronger than what we have today in the Aron HaKodesh.
That would be for the Sephardim or whatever.
Why only Sephardim? Everyone.
It's Aleppo.
What? Aleppo? What
we're going to go by them. We should.
That's not a Sephardim. That's where the Judaism. There's no Sephardim. Go back 1,000 years. There's only one Torah. There's another issue. There's a Ben Osher, Ben Naphtali. That's another sugya in itself. In any event, Rebbe Yashiv, Yibodol, Lechayim, Lechayim. Rebbe Yashiv, Zeichet Tzach Levracha, said no.
So whatever they had, everybody else in the world had.
Everybody thought
it was
the same.
The text of the Mesorah is not subject to Ashkenaz and Sfarad. The Nusach of Tefillah, Minhagim, Halacha, that is the Machlokes, Ashkenaz, Sfarad, Yemenite Jews, V'chul, Moroccan Jews, Sfarad. This is a different world. The text, what does it say in the Torah? Bereishis, Bara Elokim. No one argues with that. Okay, that's the same. Now, I know you'll tell me there's a version called Ben Osher, and there's a version called Ben Naphtali, and there are different versions of the Torah. Today, everything is Ben Osher. We don't deal with Ben Naphtali. How do you explain there be different versions, Ben Naphtali, Ben Osher? I don't know, that's a different sugi in itself. But this Aleppo Kosh of Chaim Kanievsky Shlita holds that the legend that the Aleppo Codex is the real deal, and it is from this that the Rambam wrote his Sefer Torah, is more carries more weight than what you're going to find in the Aron HaKodesh of the average shul. And now that Hashem has given us this blessing of having in our possession the 11, they want it back. Then the Arabs want it back. They never gave up on it.
Why? What do they need it for?
What do they need it for? To fight. To fight. What else do they need it for? Why is there a war going on now between Russia and the Ukraine? Can you explain it to me? I don't want that now.
They don't need a reason to fight.
You don't need a reason. You don't need a reason. Just whatever it is, it is. Everything has to make sense in this world. Nothing makes any sense in this world. Whatever it is. Everything has a reason. I don't know what the reason is. Whatever it is. They want it back. They never gave up on
this. Same reason why all the sperm on the Vatican.
They never gave up on this. You go read all the stories. It could be they gave them money. It could be the Israeli government paid them. All these crazy stories. Read up on this. It's very fascinating. A lot of stuff on this. But in any event.
There's a reason why two columns.
Oh. So that has to be understood. So we're coming to that. That's our grand finale. We're coming to this. We're running out of time right here. So there is. So Rav Yashiv. Zecher Tzadik Levrachet says, no, it's incredible machlokes. It was in the 80s, before my time, but what I understand, it was a big, big fight. The Pashkevilim, there were the Pashkevilim all over Yerushalayim, these big signs fighting this out. What should we do? Bikan Labah. Well, Yashiv held that the Mesoira of what's in the Aron HaKodesh is our Mesoira. Hanach Lohem Li Yisrael. In Einam Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im. If this is the way Klal Yisrael has been writing Nevi'im for the last 1,000 years, don't tell me now they found the Aleppo Codex says Fakert. No, the Aleppo Codex, Baruch Hashem, it's in our possession. There's a lot to learn from it. But it's not going to change anything. The way we do things is the way we do things. So Hayoyim Hazeh, there are different camps. There's the Machaneh B'nei Barak, and there's the Machane Yerushalayim. And the Machane B'nei Barak, they follow the Aleppo Codex. In the Machane Yerushalayim, they follow Rebbe Yashiv says. I know two stories where people got confused. I know that in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, they purchased a new set of Nevi'im as a gift in honor of Avraham Fruchtenler. For his service to the yeshiva, they purchased for him a new set, his friend, his chaverim, obviously very wealthy people, very nice gift, right? $100,000 gift. He purchased a new set of Nevi'im. And it seems the people who purchased the set didn't even know what they were doing, as is very common. They go to the store, we want to buy a new set of Nevi'im.
They should have
said, would you want to buy a new set of Nevi'im lefi machane b'nei brak? Or lefi machane Yerushalayim? Are you a Republican or a Democrat?
Okay.
What do you want? What's that? So they didn't ask any questions and they purchased a new set. They purchased the Machane B'nei Barak. B'nei Barak. Now the yeshiva all the years has the traditional, has a few sets in fact, of old, very old, very, very poor condition. They probably were Yerusha from other yeshivas that went out of business, of Yerushalayim. And the Baal Kriya, you know, came the first Haftarah, he's reading the Haftarah. No, it's a little different. He's not used to the psuchos, the stumos, a little different. And as things went on, he noticed some very strange things. And they really, okay, we can't go into this now. This, the strangest thing of them all, the difference, and this is an incredible, incredible chiddush, is in Sefer Yeshaya, where it says by the Melech HaMashiach, Lemarbe Hamisra. The Melech HaMashiach will have an abundance of authority. Lemarbe HaMisra. How do you spell Lemarbe in the Sefer Torah? How do you spell Lemarbe? Lamed, Mem, Lem, Reish, Beis, Hey.
Right.
What kind of Mem? So the Mesorah is, you're supposed to put an end Mem for Lemarbe. You don't write a regular Mem, you write an end Mem. Lemarbe with an end Mem. So in when they were learning from the Nevi'im, it was Lamed, Mem, end Mem, and then there was a space. A space. Lamed and Mem, Reish Beisei. So this already, for the Baal Kriya, was too much. What? So this is one word.
The space between the Mem and the Reish.
Right, the Mem and the Reish.
Yeah.
Oh.
The Sofer didn't realize, he thought it was an end of...
Right, that's what he said. What kind of amaratus is this? That's everyone knows, Lamarbe, there's an end Mem, whatever the reasons are. You put a space between the end Mem and the Reish. What's going on here? Brought it to the Sofer to correct it. Fix it.
So
the Sofer corrected it. Then someone else said to him, you don't correct, don't you right. know, this is when it was revealed, don't you know this? You have in your possession a Navi, Yeshaya, that was written, Lefi, the Aleppo Codex, Machane B'nei Barak. In the Aleppo Codex, after the end Mem, there's a space. Why is there a space? It's a tremendous chiddush. If you write an end mem, it's one word. But if you write an end mem, it comes with a space. That's how the letter word. That's how the letter goes. We are brainwashed. What's the difference? You know, you spell a word with letters. If for whatever reason you have to put in the middle of the word an end letter, for whatever the reason may be, it's still the only time you have a space. Is at between words. No, that's not the way it goes. It's one word, and in the one word, if you have an end letter, part of the end letter, according to the Aleppo Code, requires it. It's one word. But an end letter, that's the rule. It's a tremendous chiddush in understanding in the alphabet. Okay, we're dealing with the aleph base. In the Aleppo Codex version, an end mem has a space. That's the halacha. That's the mesor of how you write letters. But we've never seen this before. That's right, because we're not writing. We've been writing all these years. The Aleppo Codex, it was forgotten from us. Or whatever, that's not our mesor, or whatever it is, like a Yashiv. And we write Lamarbe without a space in between.
Is there any other place where they read it as a middle of a word?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I don't know.
Did they refix it?
Yeah, they did refix it. Now, the question is, if they would have known this in Chaimel, what would they have purchased? I have a feeling they would have purchased the it seems that over the years, you know, you can never tell what will be. Over the years, my impression is people are mainly follow, when they write new, they want Minhag Yerushalayim. I don't know why. This is my impression. They want Minhag Yerushalayim. I know where I was.
Is this safer from Bnei Brak?
What? You order it. It's all about money. It doesn't make a difference where you live. It's all about... It seems that at the end of the day, I could be I'm wrong, is the one who won the battle was Yerushalayim, and it's more common. I know in Or Yitzhak, right, Avon and Shabbos. So over the years, they purchased slowly an entire set of Nevi'im. And in one of the Nevi'im, I know there was a person, he passed away, this person. He made a hole. I don't know. I wasn't involved, but like he saw something there, and he got all worked up about it. And the end was, what he got worked up about was that he assumed that everything is written like in Bnei Brak, like the Aleppo Codex, and the new what the yeshiva acquired, what they purchased. Was Lefi Minhag Yerushalayim. Not that the yeshiva knew they were doing anyway. It was just an accident. But the misunderstanding again came about because there are two versions today on the market.
They could have had a mixed set.
You can, yeah, you can have a mixed set. If you buy one at a time, yeah, definitely.
Mix and match.
So why are we telling all this? Because this is something that is very interesting. In the Aleppo Codex, over here, I open the Minhag Yerushalayim preparing, and it says, look at the back of the Sefer. And I go to the back of the Sefer, and I see, wow, look at that. The Minhag Yerushalayim, I wrote it, so you should know how to write it. Wow. How you write it. And you look into Hillim, and it doesn't seem that even in Aleppo Codex, it's also like this. I don't know, I have to go verify that. But as a fact, when it comes to the same exact Shira in Sefer Shemuel, there's a machlokes. There's a difference between the Aleppo Codex and what's traditional. We know why this is so interesting. This is very fascinating. On Parashas B'Shalach, what is the Haftarah? Parashas Veshalach, Shiras Devorah. How do you write Shiras Devorah? Less mandapala, even the Aleppo Codex. Oriach Algabe Levena.
Right.
What is the Haftorah for Parashas Hazinu when it's not Shabbos Shuva?
Right.
When it's this past year, right? This past year, what's that? I remember. When it's not Shabbos Shuva, what are you laying for the Haftorah? Shiras David.
Right.
Isn't it? And according to the Aleppo Codex, how do you write Shiras David? Just like Hazinu. It's a perfect Shirach.
Mm-hmm.
When it's Parshas Oz Yoshir, you lay. Why am Oz Yoshir laying Shiras Devorah? Why don't we lay for Oz Yoshir Shiras David? And why, when we lay in Shiras Hazinu, do we lay in Shiras David? Why don't we lay in Shiras Devorah? If the Haftorah is a parallel, why are we matching these? So there are many answers. But isn't it interesting that according to the Aleppo Codex, they go together? Oz Yoshir is Oriach al Gabi Levena. Shiras Devorah is Oriach al Gabi Levena. Hazinu is like the Megillah Esther, two columns, and the match, the Haftorah, for Hazinu, Shiras Hazinu, is Shiras David, with the according to the Aleppo Codex, is also two columns. Now, where does this theory differ? What is the Haftorah for Shvihi Shel Pesach?
Shiras David.
Shiras David. Shvihi Shel Pesach, what are we laying? Oz Yashir. And what's the Haftorah? Shiras David. Oh, so according to the Aleppo Codex, it's not in sync. Oz Yashir is a real Gabi Levena, and Aleppo Codex, Shiras David, are two columns. But Lefi Minig Yerushalayim, it's perfectly in sync. Shiras David is also Rich Gabi Levena, and Oz Yashir is a real Gabi Levena. Now, the last thing is, well, it's really very little, the last thing is...
Because the weekly Parsha takes Trump over Yatta.
The weekly Parsha...
Yeah, have to stick
okay,
up.
Okay, so you can play around with this.
Maybe there were two versions. Okay,
there's one last point, one last short point.
There were two versions, maybe one is this way, one is that.
This caught my attention. It says it's over here on the bottom somewhere in my notes. I don't remember where it's because I have over here two versions. I have when I come over here and I have at home when I prepare from, which I take pictures of when I'm finished. I have all the notes there. I'm schlepping it back and forth. I just take a picture I can refer to it. But somewhere over here on this page, it makes note of the differences. One of the Mefarshim makes note of all of the numerals that we have on the bottom of here. And it says something which really caught my attention. Why there are so many differences? Why? So there are many answers. One, the basic answer basically is that David, this really was private shiur. When David came to the end of his life, we'll see different when did he compose it? But according to one interpretation, at the end of his life, he composed, it was a personal shira. And then he realized, you know what? Let me give it to Klal Yisrael. Let me make a couple of changes and make this available for the entire Klal Yisrael. In Sefer Shmuel, it's a private shira. Tehillim is for the tzibur. Let the tzibur have it. I want to give it to the tzibur. They can use this shira in their times of need. Or when they survive an issue, they should be able to say it. Okay, that's the most popular answer. But there's another fascinating answer, and that is Nevi'im is Sifrei Nevi'im is Nevuah. Tehillim is part of Kesuvim. There are three different sections. There's Torah, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim. What's the difference between Nevi'im and Kesuvim? So we had this many, many times. Simply, Nevi'im, these were speeches. Famous Jewish speeches. By Rabbi Bamberger, he has this series, the article series. Famous Jewish places, famous Jewish speakers, famous Jewish speeches, famous Jewish books. Okay? Sifrei Nevi'im are speeches, addresses, and they were recorded. Kesuvim, they were never spoken. They were never given as an address. They were lechatchila written. They were put in the written form. The way you write is not the way you speak. There's a different art to addressing a tzibur and compared to relative to how you present something in the written form. That's the simple interpretation. But there's another mahalach. Whatever is in the Nevi'im was said, composed with the koyach of prophecy. Whatever is presented in Kisuvim was composed with Ruach HaKodesh. It's a different ballgame. We have no understanding in our minds what is the difference. Is greater Ruach HaKodesh greater or Nevuah greater? Who's to say? One is greater than the other. Who's to say? Why? Who's the
Nevuah? Rambam says that.
Rambam says that?
Yeah.
Because the Pharisee says that?
That's right.
Okay, if the Rambam says that, okay, I can't. But I don't know.
That's the difference between the V and the Ksuvim.
I don't know. I don't know if every one of the Rishonim agrees with the Rambam on that point. It's different. It's different. David was a Navi. David lived before Mo. David
that's
lived.
An old question.
Okay, right. Okay, it's not necessarily. It's all that. Okay, you're saying that it's greater. That's a similar. It's a very similar approach
it's
to
a
the greater.
Level of the book,
it's not so. Some okay, fine. That's one mahalach. Okay, I don't believe all of the Rishonim agree to that point. Maybe they do, but it's different. It's different. There's something called Ruach HaKodesh, something called Nevuah. They're different worlds. They operate with a different set of rules. The koyach of Ruach HaKodesh demands that it be written in two columns. The koyach of Nevuah creates a dynamic where it's written Oriach Al Gabe Levena.
That's two versions that
is an incredible insight. That because that already gives us a tool to understand the difference. Everyone, what is the difference in Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah? What's the difference? Just to say one is greater, what does that mean, greater? For who says one is greater? Even if it is greater, why? What does it mean? What does that mean exactly? Now that the Mefarshim have enlightened us, that the rules of Ruach HaKodesh demand that it be written as two columns, and the rules of Nevuah demand that it be written a Ruach HaGabe Levena creates for us a mahalich as understanding the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. If Nevuah demands to be written a Ruach HaGabe Levena, Nevuah represents structure. Binyan Adayat. When the prophets, when they said words, they were architects. They were building. A Ruach HaGabe Levena is a structure. They were presenting ideas and concepts to Klal Yisrael in order that they should establish themselves. This architecture, this construction, the something that's said al pi Ruach HaKodesh, al pi Derech HaTeva, this cannot survive. You cannot have two columns going all the way up like this. It's going to collapse. The Gemara says, why is that Seres and Haman written like this? It's going to collapse. But the Hazinu is written like that. Hazinu is not a klala. Hazinu is Musar, this and that. Shiras David. It's not about structure. It's about lamala miderech hateva. It creates this idea opens up for us a mahalich, something to put your claws into to gain an appreciation between what the Nevi'im, what their goal is, versus what those who compose the Ksuvim, what their goal is. The Nevi'im are builders. They're coming to lay a foundation for Klal Yisrael to build upon, to reach a goal. Ksuvim, we're not building anything. We're analyzing the miraculous existence of the Jewish people, which al pi derech hateva, you couldn't survive a day. This structure, this tower can't survive. It would collapse. It's standing as a miracle. It gives a different approach. This is a subtle point, but it gives a different approach to appreciate what the Nevi'im, what their goal, what their purpose was. All right, it's very late. We'll stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow. Take a short break. I want to do today one more day of some interesting Chayshon Mishpat questions from that Sefer that we learned yesterday, Money Matters.
Now who had
that's where Dina lives with my mother-in-law.
That's $1 million start.
It's exactly what my sister paid 6-7 years ago.
A million
flat out.
With?
In your slide. In a very, not cold.
Just in the neighborhood?
No.
Welcome back, Shmuel. It's good to see you.
It's a beautiful neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood. It's unbelievable.
That's my family. $1 million homes?
You should see it. You should see it.
My father lived as a kid.
Wow. Yeah. You should see it.
We ever had to go to war with Russia, we wanted to get animals from Iran into Russia.
Where is the Saudi Arabia oil?
I ask
you a question. Where is the Saudi Arabia oil? Don't answer.